Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, where we should be looking to you, resting in you, according to your word, assembled together for you to be honored, for us to be exercised. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for caring, how everything goes. So we're looking to you, Spirit of God, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and your word. And Father, that you'd be pleased. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you will notice in Isaiah. And you will notice, please, remembering that God is the only God and Savior. Israel, I want you to make a little note, if you would, in your mind, to remind us. Chapter 43 in verse 10. Ye are my witnesses. The witnesses are not anybody else. They are God's witnesses. God has the ownership. God has the authority. God is the head. And thus they are his witnesses. And the purpose of his witnesses, verse 10, is that they might be his servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know, be knowing, that you may believe and cause to believe in me, and understand that I am he. So it's all about his witnesses are all about who he is. They are to understand, believe, trust. They are to have a personal relationship in a personal way to honor him. That's what it's all about. That's what Israel's about. That's what Israel's supposed to be about. Now, and the end of verse 10. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior, and like we reminded ourselves in Sunday school, that's a wonderful thing, because there's only one God. Either know him or you don't. Either you're going to trust him or you don't. One book, one Savior, one God, and us. Wow. Now we don't want to either we're going to honor that because it's true. Otherwise we try to make gods and make things up that aren't real. So God, it's a wonderful thing. You have made it very clear and simple. You're the only God and only Savior, and everyone ought to honor you and know you. That's correct. Now, and verse 21, this people have I formed like a potter, the clay, the craftsman working on wood, carver. I have formed thee, for myself, they shall show forth my praise. The whole purpose is for him to show forth his wonderful praise. To show forth has to do, to relate, to say in words, it's intensive, to put something out there as if you were celebrating, saying it, letting it sound forth. To show forth, to let very clear, my praise, by wonderful praise, standing, showing the awesome being, reverence, nature, essence that I am. To show who I am, showing and saying, letting the words bounce off and echo from the mountains, letting it show forth like the sunshine. I am God, the only God and the only Savior. There's no competition, no confusion, nothing complicated. Wow. Profound. No question. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would to chapter 45. And in chapter 45, may I pick up the thought. Chapter 45, going if I can to verse 10, 45:10. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? In other words, you're making a big issue about you being God, our maker, creator, savior, verse 9 in that. Now, so God and you're using, going to use in the captivity, you're going to use Cyrus, a Gentile, to do your work. Now, so God, you're looking at Israel's unbelief, and they don't believe, they don't think you do anything, can do anything, are doing anything. Therefore, verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Where did you come from? God, Israel is for your glory, and his Maker. Ask, it's a command, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. He throws it out. Ask me. Watch what I can do. I'm going to raise up Cyrus and all of the wonderful sequence of events. I'm going to do it. Now I challenge you, ask me. I'm God, the only Savior. Now hang on to that little thought. Chapter 43 again. And in verse 25. 43 and 25. I, even to I, am he that blotteth out, to blot out. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for, because, on account of mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Now, God, you're doing all that you do, not because of Israel. Israel is your witness. It's all about you. So, I got to get that clear in my little head. God, it's all about who you are. We're just the potter, the piece of clay. It's all about your magnificence. How could it be about anything else? Wow. It isn't the spot of paint on the painting. It's the painting itself, and the spot has become part of a marvelous picture. It's about the artist. It's about the artwork. It's about the painting. It's about you, God. That's right. For my name's sake. Why are you doing anything? For my name's sake. That's why I do it. So Israel, I'm trying to tell you to stop looking out there and try to make a debate and a confrontation between who I am and what you're thinking. I don't want you doing that. What I do is for my name's sake. That's important to help us in whatsoever's. Now, slide over, if you would, while you're here, over to chapter 46 for a moment. And you will note, if I can, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You keep going, but that don't need any more, but just get the movement. Chapter 48. God, you're God. You have to be God. That's right. Verse 9. 48, verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer, delay mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain, hold back, refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, etc. God, it's for your name's sake. That's right. For an account of my name, on account of who I am. Verse 11, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. So, point, God, whatever you do, Israel needed to get in tune, in touch, to understand you did it because you're God. The only God, the only Savior, the only Creator, you did it because you're God. And not because of your creation, you did it because you're the Creator. Now, that's very important for us, because Israel has to learn that. They aren't learning it at the moment, but they will. Now, in the process, we share together, or if you would please, on your way, Romans chapter 1 again. In Romans chapter 1, and you get the pieces and let them sit together. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And declared, God, what are you telling? I declared to ordain, to mark out ahead of time, to boundaries, determine, limits. I have declared and declared to be the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, with power, for the Spirit of holiness, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, what are you doing, God? I'm going and declaring, God, you're a wonderful, wonderful person. And we shared that in Sunday school. I have risen him from the grave. The man Christ Jesus is risen. I have died before the foundation of the world. I agreed, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to do so. I died, and since I can't die, I paid the price for sin and rose again. I'm the one that died and rose again. And you believe in your heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that God raised him from the dead. Now here you are risen. That's right. I'm the risen one. And by the way, to tie this verse 4, you don't have to do it now, but if you read in Acts chapter 17, God is going to take and has ordained that man, Christ Jesus, to judge the world. And there's your word. By the resurrection, Acts 17, by his resurrection, he's the one, God in the flesh. God has been trying to tell you he's God, but no one seems to want to listen. No one seems to want to understand. Well, you will, and I'm going to demonstrate, God said, I'm going to have him rise again, the evidence that he is exactly who he says he is. God, you are your most wonderful person in a most wonderful way, and you've done so. Now, sliding over in the light of the resurrection, and that's what the believers, the church, is my witnesses, Acts 1:8, to bear witness to his wonderful person, not our person, no, his resurrection. And how are we doing so? Because we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. and since God raised him from the dead, we're very, very familiar. Just like Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, I want you to know me, understand me, believe in me, and honor me. I do, God. We do. We believe in the heart. God, you're risen again. You're the only God and only Savior, my Creator. That's correct. Now, having said that little bit, we're new creatures in Christ, and we're vessels of clay. Now, in the process, and you have gone and made us, John chapter 1, and in John chapter 1, if I can, and in verse 12, you don't have to turn there, as many as received him, to them gave you the right, power, the privilege to become children, born again once, born again once, and children of the Father, and you adopt us, that's right, I go and place you in my Son as a son, adopted, as a son in the Son. Now, I want you to know, it's all about me showing grace. Grace is all about God. There's nothing about our works. It's all about your wonderful person, God, doing what you do because you're God. Now, having said that little bit about grace, it's all about God. It's not about us. And God, you're trying to demonstrate in a most marvelous way. Israel would have been, if they hung on to it, they didn't, they would have been a prized, privileged, peculiar treasure to you. Actually, practically. And they would have enjoyed something else about you that no one in the whole world would have. But they didn't do it. Now, God, here we are. They said no, and they crucified you in the clearest way. You presented yourself in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they rejected you. Jews and Gentiles rejected you. And you turn around in the darkness that's getting darker, the rejection that is deepening, looking for the Antichrist. All of that happening. God, you're showing your grace. Grace means it's all about you, all that you do. And that's why the church, which is his body, which we've done 1,000 times, church, which is his body. Now, hang on to that. The body represents the head. The body, it isn't about the body, it's about the head. The head. The head. It isn't about your hand, it's about the head. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, you're doing all of these wonderful things, and you're going to do them, and you tell us, John chapter 17, we might turn over there for a moment just to get into John. When you're concluding the upper room and you go out to be crucified, you say this statement, as you know, John chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and just like I am. So, and you have to ask yourself, well, how is Jesus Christ sent? And over and over and over again, you tell us how he was sent. Because that's how, you, if it's a saved, and you're his witnesses, Acts 1:8, you're going to go just like he does. Not something else. Not another program. Not another system. No, it's going to be just like he did. After all, you're his body. How are you going to represent the head? The body can't be two different things. Now, therefore, as my Father sent me, so send I you. John chapter 5, reminding us over and over again until it grabs hold of us and finds life. And the truth starts living. Wow. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus said, remember now the issue was they were concerned because Jesus said, and they knew it, God, at the end of, I'll read verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And they understood that. Making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus to them, saying unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I represent the Father's business, the Father's will. I am a child of the Father. You'll know me because I represent the Father. If you're using a thing, you look like the Father. You're like the Father. That's right. I am the Father. I look like the Father, he said. See me, you'll see the... He said it. You see me, you see the Father. That's right. Now, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. I represent God the Father in a most unique, wonderful way, and I represent him. So when you see the Son, you know what the Father, with the Father. You have the understanding of the Father. And the works that I do are the Father's. I represent the Father. I am the Son of Man, the Son of God. But I represent God the Father. That's my assignment, to make that clear forever and ever. Thus, therefore, I do nothing of myself. I do it only in and by the work and words of the Father. Now, and verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If it's about me, it's not true. God created me, man, to in the image and likeness, so that when you saw man, humans, made, not like giraffes or animals, they're made to what? For God to see himself. God looks and see his image and light. God sees the likeness of himself. That's what God sees. Wow. God made us for that. That's right. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that, it isn't about us. It's about our Father, the Creator, the only God and the only Savior. Therefore, if you would, Christ is the head as we share together, and the body witnesses. How does the body witness? As my Father sent me, so send I you. How does the body witness? By words and works. Whose words and works? The Father's words and works. They can't be ours, because it wouldn't be any good. That would represent ourselves. John 5:31. It would represent us. It isn't about us. No, it's about you, God. That's right. To show we belong to you. Uh-huh. Now, chapter 14 of John. To show that we belong in a very special way. Now, and the works belong to you. God, you're the works that we're supposed to do have to belong and come from you. That's right. So therefore, God, were you saying something way out, pie in the sky, by and by, or some dreamy statement? Never. Never. I never say anything stupid. Everything I say is yes and amen. And when I tell you something, believe it. It's real. Now, thus, verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Well, how is it possible? Because I go unto the Father. Verse 13, And whatsoever you ask in my name, you're going to ask in my name. Why do you do anything, God? I do it for my name's sake. I do it because of who I am. I do it because I'm the only God and the only Savior. I do it. That's why I do it. Anyone else isn't God, isn't Savior, isn't Creator. They're nobody. They're just vessels I made. Now, so here, God, whatsoever shall ask in my name. So God, we aren't asking in our name. We don't have the, you have to have a relationship. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you become a child of God. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, God places you in his Son as a son. So God, what is the purpose of being in your body? the sons in your body represent the head, the son, before the father. What is the purpose of the body? To remember, to remind the world in a period of grace, when darkness is getting darker and evil is getting worse, I want to show. In a world of unbelief, I want to show them the only sign I'm going to do, and that's my resurrection. I told you it. You don't believe it. I'm demonstrating it. You don't want to know. I truly am God, Romans 1:4. I am God, and you don't want to know that. That's too hard to know. Yes. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, you're doing a wonderful thing. Whatsoever shall ask, verse 13, in my name, that will I do. Who's going to do it? You're going to do it. And the reason you're going to do it, because the Father sent you, sent you, to do what? John 5. To do the works and words, his words and works, to demonstrate whom? My Father. How do you bear witness? By the words and works. That's what you do. So God, here you are, looking to be God in the believing heart and to demonstrate that you are God in the believing heart. How can we do that? In the Son, Jesus Christ. Do we have a relationship like the Israel? No. You have a relationship that is very, very unique and special. You are related to my Son as his body. And therefore, I leave the body as a testimony for almost 2,000 years, as a testimony of my grace. I am demonstrating I am who I am in them. And they, my children, my sons, come to me. Because that's the relationship. I want them to see as Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, look to me, the body looks to me. And so when you think about them, what are they doing? They ask whatsoever. They can ask whatsoever they want in the relationship, and I'll demonstrate it. Because they're children, my sons. And whatever my Son asks me, I honor it. For what? To honor the relationship of the Father and Son? To demonstrate the Father honors his Son. That's what the Father does. He honors his Son. And his Son? Well, who is the Son? Jesus Christ. You have to come in my name. Now watch. Here. For good or bad, I won't do all of it, but here's some. Now, you're going to come. Here's the glove. And this glove is a rather fussy glove because it doesn't mix. It's a very separated, sanctified, holy glove. And so you can't come along and it backs away. Nope. No, can't do it. If you ask anything in the flesh, my flesh, no, remember all those wonderful things, know how much flesh will glory in his presence. Are you thinking about it? How much flesh will glory in his presence? None. None. So there's no sense. So God, what makes us able to do what no one else can do? Your Son can do it. Your Son can do it. Because he is the same. But you can't do it. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God makes you his child. God adopts you and places you in God as a son. And you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're able to go, said Jesus Christ, to the believing heart. Now, you can ask. You can't ask like this. Not going to go anywhere. No one else gets anywhere either. Israel isn't getting anywhere. But to demonstrate grace, I made you part of the body. And therefore, when you come to me, Come in my name as a son. Come to the Father in the Son. And we'll get along quite well. Not like this. I might pray it. No. You're going to come as a son to show forth the Son. Wow. That's what you're going to do. That's how I want you to come. In my name. You don't want it. It isn't about you. It's about me. I'm the resurrected Christ. I'm showing a sign. The sign is that I've risen again. Not you. You can't show it. How are you going to show it? You're no different than everyone else. We all put our hands up, and most all of us have five fingers, don't we? Or four fingers and a thumb. Some of you may have five fingers. I don't know. Do you understand? That's what it is. I'm going to jump ahead. When you ask, I want you to ask whatever, ever in my name, and I will do it. Whatever you ask, whenever you ask, there'll be nothing you ask in my name that I will not do. Do you understand that? Oh, impossible. Wrong. Everything in my name is answered. The Father never denies me. Ever. Wow. Are we supposed to know that? Yes. Are we supposed to understand that? Yes. Now, if you're short mittens, I have some for you. There'll be only 10 cents. Now, would you please note, in the light of that, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So God, you're making it clear, the reality of the relationship. And you make it clear so that we, and that's why you say Father, 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 Father. That's right. It's because we represent you, our Heavenly Father. That's correct. And we're out working. What are we doing? Remember Philippians chapter 2. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling for reason. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God, what are you looking? We're looking for? For what? You're working out our relationship. We're working out the relationship. And in the process of working out the relationship, a God, whatever we ask in your name, because it's a relationship. That's correct. And whatever you're going to ask, because I'm working. That's why you read in verse 13, verse 14, I will do it. Not you will do it. He will do it. It doesn't say you're going to do it. I'm going to do it, said God. Do you remember, John, you have to turn there, John 15, 5. You abide in me, I'm a branch of all that. And if you abide in me, and I abide in you, but without abiding, how much can you do, John 15, 5? Without me, you do how much? Nothing. Nothing. Well, nothing means nothing. That's what it means. It's a relationship. Without it, it won't work. You can be a big preacher and have great books and everything. I don't care what you got. If you don't have that relationship, then you can't enjoy the wonderful privilege of being saved in the way God meant you to be saved, to know and honor God's in his wonderful work, in his wonderful name, to do whatever. And he's going to do it in order to outwork what? His wonderful will. John, Philippians 2:13, to outwork the wonderful working will of God in a most wonderful way. So what did our Lord Jesus do, without turning back there, in John chapter 5? To honor the will of God. That's right. God, you're outworking a what? A demonstration of your wonderful person. It isn't a demonstration of our person. It's a demonstration of your person. And therefore, God, you have to do it. Otherwise, it won't work. We're just vessels of clay. the power, the excellency, the overabundant and super-duper everything has to be of you, God. Without it, it isn't going to go anywhere. How can it go anywhere? No. Work, home, school? No. Never, never. No, it won't work. So God, here we are looking to you, and you tell us to go in whatever we do, in word or deed, do all to your glory and honor, 1 Corinthians 10. Whatever you're doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord, with thanksgiving in your heart. So we got all of those wonderful, wonderful things. So the people are going to ask what? 1 Peter 3, of the reason, the hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They want to know, what is it about you? What is it about you? Your language, your action, your response, your trust, hanging on, watching a world go as it does, and you don't fall apart with it. You aren't going to fix it, but you learn to live with it and in it to be a light in the darkness. And no matter how the darkness shifts around, the light stays on. The light stays on no matter what's going on. The light's on. That's the whole purpose of the light, to be shining. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't make the world, it doesn't charge into darkness and fix it. The light just shines. And whosoever receiveth him enters into the wonderful benefits of knowing the Lord as their personal Savior in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so all of it has to do with the will of God in a most awesome way. Now, over to over to Matthew. Now, like works, we did works in all kinds of different ways, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many messages. Why do we do it? So we took each section of James and Corinthians and looked at to what? I want you to see, no matter where you go in the New Testament, it's all about working. God's wonderful outworking his wonderful life in you. That's what it's all about when you're all done. And that's why God said, greater works will you do than I do. More, you're going to have. All of you out there in my body. The head can just be here in Jerusalem, but the hands, the feet, all over the place, wherever I send you, wherever the local church bearing witness to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we shared in Sunday school. Matthew chapter 6. Watch this, God. You'd have to be, all we're doing is looking at God. What do you say? You say it consistently. You say it simply. If we just ever want to get things straight in our little head and what we're to do and why we do it, it's so easy. If you want to. But you got to want to. It isn't so confusing. I don't know what to do with the who knows what's right. No. It's so clear. Matthew chapter 6. Picking up, and remember the he gives them the disciples' prayer. Chapter 6. In verse 9, after this manner also, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. For your name's sake. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what are you looking for, God? I'm looking for my will to be here. It's there. I want to show my will. I want to show it. I'm in charge. My words, my works. I'm the boss. I'm the only God and only Savior. Therefore, I want to show that. What are we praying? Your will be done. So when you get saved and you become a child of God, you're able to go in his name and represent his will, his working in you, both to will and to do of his what? His good pleasure. God's going to do whatsoever you ask, whatever. It won't make any difference. God's going to do it. Why not? It's my name. My name's on the line. That's right. No matter where you go, I'm going to be there. Here, God, up here in heaven, down here, you want to represent yourself? Absolutely. Now, over, if you would, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, 7 and 21. Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What do we represent? God the Father, by way of God the Son, making known God's wonderful will. And that's, God, it's all about you. But what about, No, it isn't about anything. It's about how you take a work, a home, a school, a coming and going, a pain, a headache, a heartache, how you take it and we work through it looking to you as what? Your children. See? In the midst of getting hit by a steamroller truck, you're probably finished once you hit the steamroller, but in case you survived, here comes the truck. Boom. God, we're going to look to you. Wow, that's right. God, in the thick and thin of it, that's right. We're looking to you. We're children. You're the Father. You're outworking your glorious plan in the person of Jesus Christ. We're part of the body. We have a wonderful relationship to you as a son in the Son. We ask in his name, as sons, in Christ, that's how we ask God. Now, therefore, chapter 12. Our Lord, remember, saying these wonderful things. Chapter 12, Matthew, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in where? Heaven. The same is my brother, sister, and mother. They have a unique relationship to me, head, body. They belong to me. They're my family. To what? If you're doing the will of God. That's what it's about. It isn't about you having a little thing and come to church and fill the little quota and psh, you're all done. No, it's about a whole life, a whole new life in a whole new way. Wow. Over, if you would. Chapter 26. Our Lord, our example, after all, in his name we ask. In his name we ask, we must be looking to the Father, that's right, to honor his will, to honor the Father. We want God the Father to honor his will. Matthew chapter 26, in perfect humanity, our Lord's reaction to the cross. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God, I wish I didn't have to take on the sin of the world. But if I don't take on the sin of the world can never know you and never honor you and never understand. Therefore, I have to do so. So, continuing, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. It's all about what you want, God. Not about what I want, not about what you want. It's what God wants. Your work, your home, your school, your breathing. Little breath of air. You may not take the next one. God, it's about you. That's right. And when you came to know me as your Savior, I claimed you for my wonderful will to demonstrate who I am, the only God and the only Savior. Wow. That's what I did. It's about that. That's what I want. Now, having said that little bit, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. We were there. I just want you to note it again. God, it's about doing your will, letting you outwork your will. Chapter 4, John, verse 34. Remember, they all wanted to feed him something because he hadn't eaten. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's my assignment, to do his will. God, what else do you have? How about going to here and doing that? No, I have one thing, to honor the Father's will. That's all. To honor the Father's will. That's how I want you to live. I want my will outworked in your life Ephesians 2:10, we aren't there. Ephesians 2:10. Before God, we are, Ephesians 2:10, we are your workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus. For what on earth for? For me to demonstrate the wonderful plan I have, why I created you in the first place. We've said it how many times? Do you understand? God created you for a wonderful, wonderful purpose. Not for you to be the CEO of Joe's sweatshop. To bear witness to his marvelous person. To be able to enjoy him. Isaiah 43:10. To know me. To believe in me. To understand me. To know that I am. That's what it's all about. When you're all done, that's what it's about. It isn't about who you met and who you know and your family, your friends, your job. It isn't about any of that. We like to think it is. Oh, those are ingredients in the system. No, God, it's about us being changed and letting you teach us, develop us, educate us to be able to know you. Over in Revelation, we could go like we did with works, and you'll read over and over Ephesians, Galatians. It's your will. Your will, W-I-L-L, over and over and over again. It isn't about it. Works, my works, said God, they're my works, and it's my will. And you're going to ask in my name. So therefore, whatever you ask, my works, my will, in my name, how can it not be whatsoever? When I tell you whatsoever, I didn't make a mistake in putting that little word in. Whatsoever means whatsoever. Contrary to anyone, anywhere, in all of forever. Whatsoever means to God whatsoever. Wow. Now, Revelation chapter 4. Thank you for your patience, and hope you got a little bit. It's so foreign to us, I'm afraid. Revelation chapter 4 in the great throne room at the end, after the church is raptured and the tribulation begins and all of that. And we come, if I can, to chapter 4 and in verse 11. Thou art worthy, 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things. I am the beginning and end. There's nothing that exists that I didn't create. For thou hast created all things, and that's us, little old us, for thy pleasure they are, they exist, and were created. Do you see the word pleasure? That's the word will, volition. Not my will, that's the word. All things are created for my will to be outworked on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's all about. And ultimately, that's what's going to happen. Because I'm going to reign over a thousand years, and then I'm going to reign forever in a new heaven and a new earth, and it's all about God's, the heavens, no more S, plural, heaven. What happened to the first heaven, the second heaven? Psh, gone. What are we going to have, God? You. You're to heaven. That's right. I'm going to be heaven. Wow. A wonderful thing. Wow. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing to be saved if we ever grab hold of it. It's an awesome thing. I have to tell you. I had a chance to talk to somebody the other day about all of these things. And you know, the person was having is in a difficult place physically, a very difficult, say it that way, physically, and they certainly know. But we had to be reminded, did we not, that all of these wonderful truths that you could write about and read and study and memorize are very real. Wonderfully, wonderfully real. And now you have the exercise of your heart to experience. It's not about this body. It's about God's wonderful grace inside of you to make you changed in what? In the twinkling of an eye. Absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. That's for real. Wow. It really is. Whatsoever is whatsoever. That's the way it is. Like it or not. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. We thank you for your grace and kindness. So thank you for all of it. God, looking to you. God, we owe you, God. Thank you for letting us go through the experiences and the exercise in order to develop and purify and to make perfect, to make full in its fullness truth, the wonderful truth that sets us free. You are the God of truth, and you have given us the truth of God. Your word, make it work. Help us understand. And if we know that you're not as our Lord and Savior, God, help us to understand that and lock it in. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.